In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory.
Well, it's good to see all of you this morning, even though it was freezing this morning. Somehow we made it through the frigid weather and the fog to get here by God's grace. You know, I think it's I think there's a temptation, of course, as modern day Christians with our internets and what TikToks, well, maybe not TikTok anymore, but at least for now. With all these things going on, we tend to think that we're kind of in a bubble in history, right? Like what's going on now is new. But we're not isolated from all the rest of Christians throughout time. Now, while we face new technologies, we remember the author of Ecclesiastes, which is more than likely Solomon, King Solomon. He wrote this very important thing. He says, "What has been will be again, and has been done and will be done, and there is nothing new under the sun." We do face some new problems, but they're not new problems per se. I would say they're probably just old problems have been upgraded. version 4.0 of something, war, for example. And so when we listen to Paul's letters to the various churches in the early church, there's a temptation to think, oh, they had that problem, but that's not us. If you go back and read through his epistles, like, really, this is stuff that we all wrestle with. Especially the church in Corinthians. I think America, if you were to compare them to any of the churches, the Corinthians were probably most like Americans. But even then, the church in Colossae, who was not planted by Peter, by the way, it was planted by someone else, it was actually doing quite well. It had a reputation. If you read this, his letter to them, he's like, hey, you guys are doing pretty good. You're almost like the Romans, but no one's like the Romans. The Romans are the best, right? But there were things that came along that tempted them and held them captive. And he said it. He said there's these deceptive philosophies which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of the world rather than on Christ. So there's these things he's coming along. They were wanting to pull them away from the life, the new life that they had in Christ. They, like us, are tempted to wander from the gospel. And in Christ, there's a new problem to these old problems that they faced and that we faced. So while they faced that struggle of being pulled away from Christ by these temptations, by philosophies, by politics, by ideology, by elemental spiritual forces of the world, he comes to us and offers a new solution to these old problems, a solution to live in his kingdom now. And remember the words of Paul where he says, set your mind on things above. And that word mind isn't just like, you know, we kind of think of like putting, like, I don't know about you, but I'm a very visual person. So when Paul says, set your mind on stuff, I'm literally thinking about taking my brain and going, pointing towards heaven. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about orienting ourselves. It's not just our mind and our thinking, but our entire being. The way that we think, the way that we feel, how we see the world is transformed. We're no longer just people who perceive through a lens of a certain ideology or political orientation or things like that, but we see it through the mind of Christ. We acquire the mind of Christ. We orient ourselves towards things above. It's not about what's happening here today, but about the eternal kingdom of God and us participating in it. It's not about what is to come. We worry about what is already. What's happening right now? And this is what he tells us in his epistle today. And even though he's writing to them, he's writing to us. He says, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so also you must do. But above all, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you also were called in one body. And above all, and I'm adding, this is Father Peter injecting his words into, be thankful. And above all, be thankful. This is a really interesting thing. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Rule over everything else that's going on in my heart today. All the stress and anxiety and worry and temptations and things like that. How is this possible? If it was only so easy. You know, if I go back in time and stop for just a second and talk to Paul, I would just hop out of the time machine. You got 5 seconds, Father Peter, what are you going to do? I'm going to hop out and say, It's not that easy. I get back in and go back to the future. Because it's hard. So oftentimes we find ourselves drawn away from the eternal kingdom of God and drawn to temporal things. If you spend time with people in life, you realize that we're always being drawn. We always want more time. The flesh always wants more time. The material always wants more material. But the soul, which is eternal and immaterial, wants more of eternity. I mean, listen to that. We're being drug away from that, compromising our faith to ancient deluge deceptions, being drawn away by this and that, news reports, sensual images, fear, anxiety, and anger. All these things are pulling us away from the eternal kingdom of God. So, all right, what do we do now? We have this problem. We're doing well like the church in Colossae, right? We have a prayer rule. You're all here today. Right? You all get a passing grade for showing up, by the way. It's the rule of the church to show up. What do we do next? Knowing that that threat's out there, just like to the early church, we have that same threat to pull us away, the fear, the anxiety, the temptations. The number one thing I would recommend for everyone here and ask all of you to do is be vigilant. For the altar servers here, just so you know, I have one requirement. Pay attention. Right? Pay attention. And that applies to all of us here. Pay attention. What are you thinking right now? What are you feeling right now? What's happening around you? And most importantly, what's happening inside of you? He says, let the peace of God rule in your heart. Is that happening right now? Be vigilant. Guard your heart. Guard your life. I think some of us may have things in our lives that we really, really cherish. I have family heirlooms at home. When we moved here, I wanted to carry it on my lap, you know, because I want to make sure nothing happened to it. I guarded it. I protected it. I made sure it wasn't damaged. I made sure nothing came along and smashed it and ruined it because it had deep sentimental and family value to me. How much more should we guard and be vigilant over our lives, over what we think, and what we allow ourselves to contemplate, what we give our time to, what we entertain, what we submit ourselves to? Be vigilant. Pay attention. Guard your eyes, your ears, and above all, guard your heart. Pay attention to it. Let your attention hover over your heart like the Spirit did, Holy Spirit did over at the time of creation. And then when you see those things bubbling up, the little cesspool of darkness that comes out in the crevices of the heart, run to Christ like the blind man today and cry out, Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me. Because Christ is the only hope for the hopeless. He's the help of the bestormed. He is our firm foundation, our refuge, and our deliverer. Be aware of the temptations when they come. Don't let them sneak up on you because they like to do that. They're little ninjas. Be aware. And when they come, cry out to Christ. Be aware of those temptations, any temptation, and cry out to the King of all to save you. You're here today. God bless you. Now, watch your heart. Listen to the Gospels. Listen to the hymnody. Listen to, let yourself be drawn up into heaven by the singing and the prayers and the liturgy itself. Because at the end of it, I'm going to say this until I'm blue in the face, it's all about Jesus Christ. Life is all about Jesus Christ. Your life is all about Jesus Christ. My life is all about Jesus Christ. It's about Christ, the King, the risen Lord. And I will say, I'll try to end with this note because I think it's very, very important. We keep saying, God will save us. God will save us. He is saving us. Right now. And no matter how bad you think you are, no matter what you've done in your life, what's been done to you, he's saving you. Let him save you. I used to get so frustrated when I worked in technology. I'd talk to users and be like, help me help you. Let God save you. Step into his holy work, his sanctifying work that is making you holy. You didn't come here to be slaves, even though we are the slaves of God. He came here to make you holy. And it's not a separate, lesser holiness than what he has. It's his holiness. What a gift. Let him save you. Do you believe he's saving you? If you don't, work on that, okay? He is saving you. He is healing us just as he healed the blind man today in the gospel. There was a part in that gospel where I had to sit there and just kind of chewed on it for about half an hour, and then my brain gave out and had to change the batteries. Where he said, he stood still, and then he said, bring them to me. And I thought, he stood still. Why did he stand still? And I couldn't find any commentary on it, so it'll probably take me another 10 years to figure it out. But he stood still, and he's calling us today to come to him in his stillness. So find your rest in him today, the deliverer from the ancient evil, the one who calls us in the early church, the same one who was there with Paul, calling that church out of the temptations of the world and into his kingdom. He's calling us today. So let's turn our hearts to Christ in this liturgy. Don't wander too far. And if you do, one of my favorite prayers that I pray all the time, Lord, don't let me wander too far from you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.